When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, my name is Daniel, and I host the Desert Island Dicks podcast, and that's what this is. This is an old episode, what we call an old dick, and we just thought we'd put it out again. It features the wonderful comedian and podcaster Joanne McNally. In the Top of the Cox episode we put out recently for International Women's Day, there was a little extract from the original podcast in there, and a few of you got in touch and was saying how much you enjoyed it. And we just thought, well, yeah, let's just throw out the original one again so that newcomers to the podcast can have a listen as well, because I really enjoyed it. I remember a particular highlight being when she was talking about growing up in Ireland and how at the end of the night in the local nightclub, they would play the national anthem and then just set the fire alarm off until everyone left. But there's loads of great bits, so do enjoy this episode. And, you know, just a reminder that we've got like 200 episodes in our meaty back catalogue. So, yeah, there's loads of great episodes for you to pick from. So just reach into that big old bag of dicks and pull one out and enjoy yourself. So let's get on with it. Here's Joanne McNally's Old Dicks. Hi, I'm Dan Benedictus and welcome to Desert Island Dicks, the show that sees you marooned on a desert island after a plane crash with the worst people and worst things imaginable. Who they are and why they're a dick is up to our guest. And here to share their Desert Island Dicks with us today is comedian Joanne McNally. How are you doing?
I'm good, Dan. How are you?
Not bad. Not bad. Thank you. Thank you for joining us today. How have you found... I know that you found it a bit tricky because I saw on Instagram you've been posting that you found it quite tricky coming up with guests for your island.
I did. I found it really hard. Like, it's not that I'm a really positive person, but you're like, what can I get away? Most of the people I don't like are close friends and family. So you're like, who famous can I say? But I think I found three, that okay, I wouldn't good. Like to be stuck with for any period of time because I think they're probably all a bit deranged.
All right. Well, let's dive straight in then, and we can put you out of your misery. Who's going to be the first dick on the island?
So the first dick on the island is Kim Woodburn. Do you know Kim Woodburn?
Yes, she's one of the cleaning ladies, isn't she?
Yes.
I think she has a proper name. It isn't just one of the cleaning ladies, but...
She was... There were two... Two fat ladies were the cooks. She was the cleaning lady with another woman who I think the other woman basically just was like, I can't work with her anymore. She's great, Ali. She was on Celebrity Big Brother and she was incredible in it. Only because she is away with the fairies. Really aggro, always giving out, starting on people, completely paranoid. She's kind of goes from 0 to 100 in 30 seconds. Massive temper on her. Like, I don't know what's... appears to be a bit of an asshole. So she started this massive row with Colleen Nolan, one of the Nolan sisters. I mean, who fights with the Nolan sisters? It's like fighting with like fucking Paddington Bear. Anyway, she started this huge fight with Colleen Nolan. I keep trying to say Colleen Rooney, Colleen Nolan. And then she went on Loose Women to try and sort it out and stormed off and everything. Like, and then Colleen Nolan was on with Holly and Phil crying, saying like she almost quit her job. I do think maybe there's something a bit off with Kim. Like, I don't think anyone normal acts like that, but she's, whatever her reasons, I definitely don't want to spend any time with her. Plus that bun in her hair and all her head makes her look just pissed off the whole time.
Yeah, she sort of reminds me of like, she's sort of the personification of, you know, in Matilda, Miss Trunchbull. She kind of looks like her, or at least her sister.
She's Miss Trunchbull, less athletic. But she's very like Miss Trunchbull. She has that very severe hairstyle and everyone's a little pig bitch. And she's just angry all the time, which, to be honest, you don't really meet that many angry women. Like, nothing against men, I love men, but like, it's unusual to meet a woman like that. It just is. It's just unusual to meet a woman like that. She's kind of very paranoid, very temperamental, very sensitive, like to the point where she's literally seeing things that aren't there. Do you know what I mean?
Which must be awkward if your job is kind of cleaning for a living, because you think you've done it and then you're seeing more dirt, and no wonder she's so obsessively clean.
Yeah.
It's that sort of fine line between, like, maybe you're just a genius and you know exactly what makes a television show, you know, you add that drama to reality TV, or you're being exploited and really you need help and actually the industry should go and, like, well, has a duty of care.
It's always a thin line. Like, when you look back at people in reality shows before, and now people are so sensitive to the whole thing of, like, not laughing at other people's madness. Whereas before, it used to be great crack to put mad people in telly. But now it's, like, not very cool to do, which is a shame. And I think telly is lacking as a result of it, you know. like, I was watching an episode of Come Dine With Me last night, and there was a man in it. I can't even remember his name. But, like, it was an old episode. He was clearly mad, you know. Like, just one tooth in his head, kind of talk, like just really aggressive, really aggro, found fault in everything, potentially on a spectrum of sorts. I don't know. Like, I'm not a doctor. I don't know. But sure, he was great telly. We were loving it. But I was saying to my housemate, I don't know if you'd get away with putting him into an episode of Come Dine With Me now. And it's a shame. Sane people are very boring.
Yeah, it's true. I wonder if in the future we'll sort of look back at this kind of era of, you know, like the real nexus of horrible reality TV and kind of watch it as like a guilty pleasure in the future. You know, the same way that sometimes you see like clip shows and they go, look at this mad show from Japan where they do all this. And we can like look back and be like, oh my God, we were savages.
Yeah. Look at Kim Woodburn have a breakdown on Loose Women. Ha 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 ha. That was the that was 2019 or whatever, 2019. Yeah, I think we are moving towards a very... But the other thing is, like, you don't know what's going on with people. Like, say Susan Boyle, for example. There's no way. I don't think she'd ever get on a reality show now. No, what do you think?
No. Yeah, I think it feels a bit shaky ground. There were sort of warning signs there, weren't there?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think with Kim Woodburn as well, I mean, just let's put her on the island with you now. So she's confrontational. It's like two things. So she's confrontational about everything, and she's also obsessed with cleanliness, which on a desert island is going to be near to impossible.
Well, she didn't lift a finger in the Big Brother house now, I can tell you.
Okay.
She didn't do a thing, and she was like, they're dirty, dirty pigs. That's what she kept shouting about the other housemates. But she's very bossy, and if there's one thing I can't stand, it's being... bossed around. I can't. I hate being told what to do. It infuriates me. I see red. So I reckon we'd have punched each other out within an hour.
But she's quite formidable, isn't she? I mean, in a scrap. I mean, I don't know how tidy you are in a fight, but I mean, she's quite an imposing figure.
She is. I'm getting more temperamental the elder I get. When I was young, I would have been terrified to be in a fight. Now I'd be like, I don't know. I'd probably give it a go. I don't like pain in any capacity. I have a very low pain threshold, and I'd hate to get smacked in the face. But I'd say if me and Kim were left alone on an island, someone would enter. I'd say she'd be quite physical, actually.
Yeah.
She's a big woman, and she's quite threatening, and she cries a lot. And actually, maybe she'd be great crack. Maybe I've underestimated her.
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, it just feels like she's this huge ball of chaos waiting to explode. And I think, you know, as interesting as that is to watch from a safe distance, you're not going to have that luxury. I mean, maybe if you can, like, quickly go up a palm tree and sort of look down on the explosions below, you'd have an okay time. But at some point, it might just be you and her left.
Hair flowing because she's got no hairspray left. And
yeah.
Might be the making of the two of us.
I can still imagine her still sort of wearing one of those quite severe blazers, though, even on the island, you know.
The big earrings and all. You're like, Kim, there's no one to impress here, love.
Nice. So Kim Woodburn joins you on the island, and who's going to be joining the two of you?
So the person I would, the next person is Dr. Julian McKeith.
Oh, yes, yeah. I kind of think of the same era, television era, really.
Yeah, another mad woman on telly who has no actual qualifications. I think she got the doctor qualification from an online course from a college. I don't know. I think she's got a doctorate in like Greek mythology or something, but she just threw it onto her name there and was giving out like nutritional and medical advice. Like, so it's one thing, whatever. Look, we've all kind of plumped up our credentials for things, you know. Like when you were younger, I've often said I was fluent in all sorts of languages and I could play piano and violin, and sure, no one hired me anyway. It was irrelevant. But saying, like, was one thing saying you're a doctor when you're not. Like, I could call myself a doctor now, right?
Yeah.
But all I'm doing is sitting in my room. There's no danger to me calling myself a doctor. If I go online and start giving people medical advice, that's dangerous. So it's not that I just don't like her because she's a bit of a spoofer. I think she was actually putting people at risk, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was the whole thing of people watched it because there was that whole sort of thing of like examining your poo, wasn't there? She'd always make people take a dump and then she'd have a look at it and tell them why they're going to die soon.
And it was so unnecessary. And I don't know if that's her or Channel 4. Who the hell knows who came up with that? But like, come on. It's completely unnecessary. Unnecessary. It was a prop. Poo prop. Just to get extra. I didn't even want it. I was like, that's disgusting. Why is he taking a shit into a lunchbox? Like, what's this got to do with anything? But yeah, and I remember at the time I actually quite liked the show because everyone likes that reveal, you know, the before and the after. And they come in and they're all like, their skin looks bad and they're kind of grey in the face and they just look really unhealthy. And suddenly they, like, you know, and she'd bring in these wheelbarrows full of sugar and like, that's the sugar you've had in your tea this week. And everyone's like, And then she walks them over to this gorgeous table of fresh vegetables and shiny looking aubergines, and then you'd see them struggle because it turns out they hate porridge and blah blah blah, and she'd have to come in and intervene anyway, and then they'd end up looking great at the end.
Yeah.
And it was a cool show to watch, but then when I realized what a spoofer she was, I was like, oh god. And the way she, I don't know, there's something about her demeanor and all, it's just a bit, it's not for me.
She's just a bit irritating. She was very, I think, you know, it's all well and good to, I mean, I suppose the aim is good, you know, let's help people not die of heart disease too early.
Of course.
But
her intentions were pure.
Yeah, but she was so angry at them all the time. It's like, look, they might not know about nutrition, so let's help them along in a nice way. Don't just like scold them all the time.
Yeah.
And I think you mentioned the thing about wheelbarrows full of sugar. I remember there was this one with a vicar who wasn't that fat. He was a bit portly, which kind of suits a vicar, I think, really. And I think he said something like he eats 5 pork pies a week. And she was like, right, well, that's clogging your arteries. Watch this. And they had an ambulance drive into his street and they pulled out the stretcher and they'd made a person out of mashed up pork pies. And I was like, I think there's, I mean, this is hilarious, but I don't know if it's like, what's the point? It's like, oh, and now the pork pie man is dead because he's full of pork pies. You're like, yeah, I mean, he's not going to turn into a pork pie. It's just,
that's like, you might as well have put on like a fake burial and laid him out in a coffin and have his friends and family come and visit him on the day.
But I think they did something like that. I'm sure there was something like they got the family's kid in one episode and they made them do like a pretend birthday party for him, but they weren't there and they just had to watch a video of him on his own and having a birthday party with his parents dead from sugar or something.
Jesus!
Like, that's pretty mad.
Yeah.
Pretty mad shit.
There was another show that I found on YouTube that I really liked. It was like, not 10 years younger, it was how old is my body? Basically, they were trying to find out like your biological age versus your actual age. And it was fascinating. So they take these really unhealthy people. I honestly think your skin is a great indicator of what's going on inside you. So you know the way sometimes people, they kind of have a very grey, you can just see they're grey and they're kind of grey in the eyes and they're grey in the face. Anyway, and this was nothing to do with weight, actually, because some of these people were quite thin and then other people were bigger. But they lived a very unhealthy lifestyle, so like chain smoking and doing loads of drugs and like, you know, pints. And they went through, they brought them in and gave them like an autopsy, basically.
Right.
Of what was going on in their bodies. And it was fascinating because you don't know, like, I love a drink, right? I love a drink. Mm. I'm not afraid to take a tablet. Like, if I have any sort of twinge, I'll take it. I'm not one of these people who, like, you know, people talking about, like, a natural birth. I'm like, are you on crack? I wouldn't do anything natural if the alternative was an option. But I never think about my liver or I never think about my kidneys because I can't see them. I gave up smoking because I can see my face and I'm vain. And it was giving me lines and all. And I didn't want to age, like, at the speed of light. but I can't see what's going on inside me. Basically, what I'm saying is I'd love an autopsy. Like, I'd love an autopsy now. I'd love an NCT of, like, everything yeah. that's going on. I know it's not an autopsy because I'm alive. I'd love to know what's going on inside me. It'd be great.
I mean, I got a real fright recently when I saw a picture of me on my birthday about 6 weeks after my son was born, and I just looked about 15 years younger than I do 3 years later now. And so now I think if that's what... that's how much older I look after 3 years of being a dad.
Yeah.
I don't really want to see what the decay inside. And it makes sense. This is why, like, your parents are always eating, like, a really hard brown bread. And you're like, why don't you want some of the fun food I'm having? And they're like, no, 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 I can't have that. And now I understand why, because I'm clinging on to every little fucking thing I've got.
But I would think, because I know people who have had kids, and I do think kids, they do age you, because you're not sleeping like you can. Like, I can sleep, I've no kids, I'm free to nap anytime I want, which is great. But it also means I've no one to wheel me around when I'm old. You'll have people to wheel you around when you're old. But I think physically your face might show kids because you're tired and stuff, but your insides are probably grand.
Probably all right. I mean, it's not as bad as being like a president or a prime minister, where you see them in 5 years and they literally look like awful.
I know. Donald Trump's probably in his 40s. Like, it probably, like, I know, stress really ages you. It really, really does.
Well, but then saying that, I mean, Gillian McKeith, getting back to her, she didn't even look that great, did she? Because there was a famous meme used to go around where it was like, she's the same age as Nigella Lawson, who's kind of curvy and voluptuous and looks great and eats loads of cream and butter and crap all the time. And Gillian McKeith is telling us what to eat. And she looks like a skeleton, you know, and, you know, not like a fun one.
No, not like a fun skeleton. Not like a fun skeleton. No, I know. She didn't look... she wasn't really selling the brand to me, to be honest. She was thin, and I think there was a stage not that long ago where thin, everyone just wanted to be thin, 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 thin. Like, that was all that mattered, thin. It wasn't about health, it wasn't about, now it's all about abs and definition and toning. But at the time, she was offering a thin lifestyle to people who weren't thin. And this is like the early noughties, when thin was very much in. Heroin chic. That was all we had done. Heroin chic. Which is awful. No one ever looks at a heroin addict and admires their body. But I grew up with heroin chic. Like, that's what we had to look like. We had to look like Kate Moss to be considered attractive. It was desperate. Yeah.
I was pulling out of a Sainsbury's car park this morning, and I saw someone who, maybe not heroin chic, maybe more crack glamour, I would say, and saw this woman sort of go and take a piss in a bush next to me. And I thought, I don't think that's not a great role model. You know, each to their own. But it's not what I'd want walking down the catwalk for my spring-summer collection.
No, of course not. Taking a piss at the end, I'd be desperate. But, like, I do think now there's a much healthier vibe now, and young girls, like, I see teenagers now, or girls in their 20s, and they're curvy, and they're showing it off. Like, when I was young, if we put on weight, we were so mortified about our bodies. We were wearing, like, Umbro jumpers, like, black sacks down to the ground. Anything to just... hide all our bumps and lumps, and now they're like out to be seen. It's great.
Yeah. The flip side is that, like, you know, there's a load of people obsessed with the gyms and stuff, but I suppose it's more like, it's more healthy than starving yourself, isn't it? It's like, at least you're doing exercise.
I feel it has to be a healthier option. I think the beauty industry is, and I think human nature is, that there'll always be a level of aspiration to your body. Like, there will always be told that there's a next level that we can get to or should get to. And I do know there's probably problems, like, men are under a lot of pressure now that they were never under before. It was always just women that kind of felt that pressure. Mm. And now all that, like, all those, what are they called? The Geordie Shore, like, that kind of body. Yeah. I mean, the lads are obviously off their tits on roids. Like, let's face it. No one gets a body like that if you're not off your tits on roids. But I do feel that with girls now, they're like, I'm actually kind of jealous. Like, I wish I'd grown up in that environment. And I think a lot of it's to do with fashion and trends, and people kind of rebelled against. There was girls fucking dying of anorexia on the catwalks. Something had to be done. But... the body positivity movement has, I think, has been massively, massively helpful. And I'd love if I'd grown up when that was a thing. And I think those girls are wonderful. And I think Instagram has a lot to do with that, because now you can find, anyone can be a model, really. Like, you can find someone who looks like you, no matter what your size, who's probably modeling something for someone. Whereas when I was young, like I say, they were just sticks. Everyone was just a stick. And if you weren't a stick, you weren't attractive. That was the end of it. And boys were kind of brainwashed into it as well.
Fair enough. Yeah. And yeah, but you're right. It is, I think it is a more balanced, rounded view these days. And yeah, people like Gillian McKeith, I'm not going to say the doctor part because we know it's
but
made up.
True, yeah.
But yeah, she wasn't helpful at all. And as I say, so it wasn't, it was neither sort of that healthy or that nice looking. And yeah, and also just pretending you're a doctor is like, how do you expect no one to fact check that after a while? I mean, it's mad.
But she got away with it for years. And, also, like I say, like she was genuinely talking, like banging out scientific facts, and that just weren't true. Like, they just weren't true. Anyway.
And also, I mean, let's put her in the position. You've got Kim Woodburn just going mad all the time and also complaining that everything's not clean. You've got Gillian McKeith telling you why you should eat certain things, but based on nothing. So you probably, it's not going to help you. And also you've got no choice. So you've just got two really negative, nagging people on the island with you. And you just sort of think, well, I want to have a nice time as much as possible, but you're awful people.
They'd probably just start eating each other. Like I'd say if you put those two in a room, they'd go for it.
Mm. Well, I think also Gillian McKeith's going to go, Kim Woodburn, you're overweight. You must do something about it. And she's going to snap, isn't she? And so you telling me my body's not perfect? Whatever.
Probably, yeah. Probably. Oh. Didn't even think of that.
Horrendous.
She'd
horrendous
have Kim
stuff.
Power walking around the island and all.
Okay, and who's going to join them? Who's going to be your final choice?
So my third choice is Conor McGregor.
Uh-huh. Yeah, good.
A man I used to admire and thought he was wonderful. And now I just think he's a dick.
Yeah.
He's so arrogant. I've never seen arrogance like it. I saw him once in Dublin. He pulled up to something I was going into in like with these huge 4x4 cars, like this kind of squad of people. And it's like, what? This isn't LA. What are you doing? It was just, yeah. It's so much. It's so over the top. How he's still engaged to that girl, I've no, how she hasn't left him, I've no idea. But anyway, they must have some sort of arrangement.
Yeah, I mean, I get that if you're going to fight people for a living, you've either got to be completely kind of easygoing and sort of laissez-faire with the world and just sort of go, you know, win some, lose some. Or you've got to be so hyper-confident, you know, that there's not a shred of doubt in your mind that you're the best. But I think you could probably have that without just being a massive dick.
Muhammad Ali, he wasn't anything. Like, he wasn't... Well, do you know what? I don't know. I don't know enough about it. I just know that Conor is an asshole, let's face it. And he's kind of lost. I think when he started, he's done wonders for that sport and he was really inspiring and loads of young Irish lads were getting into it. And it was actually quite cool because there was this kind of jump in young lads who looked up to him who weren't drinking. They were going training instead. And it seemed like he was. I mean, you can't take away from what he did and how he started out. But all the accusations surrounding him now and his attitude now and like punching that old man in the face in the pub, and I don't know what's going on there. It appears, and I get it, like you, for that, to be in that business and to be as successful as he is and as driven as he is, you'd have to have undergone some sort of like retrained your personality to think that you are like beyond human, if you know that way, like your strength and your dedication and your focus, and that there is no one like you. And I understand building that up in your head, but I'm still allowed to think that what he does outside of the ring, sure, he's not even in the ring anymore, is pretty shocking.
But I think as well, lots of people you hear about, like, oh, you know, I used to be a bad kid and I was getting into trouble on the streets, and then I found boxing or MMA or whatever, and it really channeled my anger and it made me a calmer person because I had an outlet for it, which is positive, and turned it into a sport. Was he sort of done the opposite? It's like, you're still really angry. It's surely, like, you're the one person who got angrier from doing it. I mean, it's,
but the
doesn't seem to have worked.
The Conor thing just seems to be a bit relentless at this stage. It's like, I don't know. It's not good. I don't know what he's going to end up doing. I hope he figures out how to make peace with himself in some way, because I think he's kind of lost it, to be honest.
Yeah. I remember seeing him going to some awards do or something. He's wearing a pinstripe suit and they had a close-up and all the pinstripes just said, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you. They had it woven into the fabric. And you're like, I mean, that can't be that cheap as well. And when you're getting to the point where you're just so out to offend as much as possible, you're having it like swear words woven into your clothes.
I guess for to keep himself like mentally strong, he probably has to think the world is out to get him.
Maybe. But it's not like there haven't been nice boxers. I mean, Anthony Joshua just comes across really well. Doesn't he, like, still live with his mum and gives all his money to his...
I don't know him. Who's he?
He's, like, one of the... He's, like, a good British boxer. And he's, like, a heavyweight. And apparently, like, yeah, he still lives quite a modest lifestyle. Gives loads of his money to his family so that they can have nice lives. And just, and it's like, yeah, you can, you're still terrifying in the ring.
Yeah.
But, you know, you seem like a really nice guy and a role model and, like... It's nice.
I know. We all want that Rocky. We all want the Rocky character, but I guess that he's probably few and far between in the real world.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, God, I love Rocky. Such
love
a shame.
Rocky. Do you know another film I love? And I don't think anyone really, I don't think it gets the credit it deserves, or maybe that's just my opinion. You know, Over the Top.
I haven't seen that, actually.
It's the same guy. It's your man Stallone.
Is that the arm wrestling one?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, maybe I have seen that a long time ago, yeah.
And he flicks his cap, like, when he needs to kind of push it. You know, it's always, you think he's going to lose in the hands, and then he rinses his, turns his cap around, and then when he turns it, it's like turning on a machine. That's what he says.
Yeah,
and then he's like, boom, it's brilliant. Me and my brother used to watch it religiously in the 80s.
This is a big tangent, but talking of arm wrestling, when we're done, I urge you to look up German arm wrestling, German arm wrestler, Big Arm.
Oh.
There's this German arm wrestler who, through a genetic... anomaly, has one giant arm. So, and it's like, it looks photoshopped, it's amazing, but it's legitimate. He's been in sort of German adverts and stuff. He has one arm, and it's like, I don't know if you've seen Rick and Morty. There's an episode of Rick and Morty, he gets like a big giant arm. It's like that. It looks like someone's just sort of like a Mr. Potato Head, someone's stuck on this giant arm.
Oh my God.
It's maybe the best thing you'll see all weekend. I'm just gonna hype it up like that.
Is that fair? Is he allowed to arm wrestle with that arm? Does he do professionally or just does for the crowd?
Yeah, he's a professional arm wrestler.
Oh my God.
But then I suppose, I mean, it seems unfair, but I guess, like, you know, Usain Bolt has a natural talent. You know, like, I could train forever and I'll never have that natural gift, and he's taller and more athletic, you know. Or like they say, like, oh, I don't know.
But aren't fighters measured, like, aren't you put up against people the same weight as you and the same size as you? Isn't that kind of how it works?
Oh, in that case, it's slightly unfair, I suppose, if you are. But I'm sure, I mean, if we're going to base it on Over the Top, I'm sure Stallone had to arm wrestle some guys who are a lot bigger than him.
That's true, yeah. That's true.
Okay, well, you've done some really good choices for the people on this island. Now, mercifully, amongst the wreckage of the plane, there was some food and drink left over. Mm. Unfortunately for you, it's your least favourite food and drink in the world. What are they and why are they so bad?
So, I mean, it's... do you know what food I hate? Now, it's unlikely that it's going to fall out of an airplane, but soft poached egg. I hate a runny yolk in an egg. It makes me want to gag.
Oh, really? Okay.
But I love hard poached eggs.
Oh, right. So I'd say I'm the polar opposite of you egg-wise.
Yes. Well, I think most people are, and that's why I struggle so much, she says. The struggle, the egg struggle in London is real. I spend most of my time sending back eggs. Now, it's not a massive complaint, but it's a nice position to be in, to be rocking around sending back eggs. But I do, London just doesn't list, like, I don't think English people understand. I think they think I don't know what I'm saying when I say rock hard eggs. They're just like, she's silly, she doesn't understand. And when I put the knife through it and it runs, A, I get filled with anger and I want to physically gag and I have to send it back. And they just won't give me hard eggs. It's disgusting, that yellow bile shite, and it runs over everything and infects all the other food and everything's just yellow and gloopy and ugh.
But I find it the same with, like, if a hard yolk still kind of gets everywhere and it's sort of like a paste. I don't know, but...
It doesn't. It stays exactly where it's supposed to.
Well, it would more than the yolk, obviously, because it's liquid. So that does make sense. Okay, so just so runny eggs. Also, I mean, apart from anything, the idea of eating runny eggs on a beach is just...
I'm always horrified when I see on beaches, like, people eating burgers and chips and all. I'm like, I don't know. Like, there's certain, your temperature, I think, say, for example, say for the drink bit, right? And I was like, what drink would I hate to drink on an island? Now, I love red wine. Like, I love it. I wish it was water. Like, I wish that that was what we used to hydrate. But if it was warm in any way, red wine suddenly to me is toxic. Like, I'd rather drink the belly of Chernobyl. than drink red wine in the sun.
I suppose you've got a sort of... Oh, you mean if the weather's warm in any way?
Yeah, imagine sitting on a Hawaiian island or something. Because red wine is usually served kind of room temperature.
Yeah, because I was going to say you've got a higher operating window with the temperature of the wine. But you mean the ambient temperature of the island, yeah.
Sometimes I microwave my red wine.
Wow.
I'm quite the sommelier, Dan. I'm quite the sommelier. Sometimes I microwave my little red wine or Aldi.
So poor man's mulled wine.
Yeah. Sometimes I'll give it an out blast in the micro if it's a bit cold.
How hot do you go?
Maybe give it like a minute.
That's quite hot.
Yeah.
That's warmer than I thought you'd say like 10 seconds or something.
No, I'll give it a minute, yeah. It'll be bubbling away in there. But then it's like I say, the idea of my palate, I suppose it's everyone's the same. Depending on how the heat outside, my palate completely changes. So yeah, you're right. Who in their right mind would order runny eggs on a beach? Vile. Yeah. You eat Calippos and you drink rosé or like deliciously cold gin and tonics or like some sort of concoction out of a pineapple. They're the things you drink and eat on beaches. But do you know what else I absolutely... See, I'm a bit of a pig. There's not a lot I don't eat. But you know what I don't eat? And people just can't understand it. And I don't know why either. I don't like pizza at all.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So it just feels completely pointless to me. Like, it doesn't make me gag. But it's just a giant moon-shaped, like, one... It's like just a toast with meat on it. I just don't get it. Don't get it. So if runny eggs or pizza fell out of the plane, I'd be raging.
Okay. And I mean, you know, even if you were in a class on the plane that was, you know, if you're first class, they could probably do you a runny egg. But it's still not going to be that great. So, you know,
airplane food. I actually quite like it. I think it's always really exciting. I love the way they give you no choice whatsoever.
I quite like that. I find the amount of choice just exhausting in life. And you're like, why are there 30 types of washing up liquid? Just give me something green in a bottle.
You're on a plane, they're like, you're having a ragu. And you're like, I'm a vegetarian. They're like, you're not anymore. And you're like, okay, fine.
I just think the idea of any eggs, I mean, eggs every day anyway isn't pleasant, I think. And then runny eggs on a beach every day, bit gritty, and you think, oh god, there's some shell in it. No, it's just all the sand.
I remember seeing a photo of Kerry Katona once on a beach, and it was obviously set up. So what the celebs do, from what I can tell, is they put on a load of weight. Then they go out to like Benidorm. They bring photographers with them. They get intentionally photographed looking like shit, eating shit on a beach. The photos go somewhere. Then they get a trainer and they release a fitness DVD in time for Christmas or whatever, right? That's what they do. That's like, obviously, it's kind of like a little money-making plan that they have. And I remember seeing this photo of Kerry Katona on a beach. And it was nothing to do with her or her body or anything like that. It was nothing to do with that. But she was eating this burger with chips and loads of ketchup and mayonnaise. And I was like, no.
Yeah.
At least go into the shade. Like, it was in the roasting hot heat of the day. I was like, nah. You need cold shit on the beach, hot shit inside. I mean, come on. You don't have to be Nigella to figure that out.
That's the basics. That's the basic. Put it on a tea towel so you don't forget.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, so runny eggs on the beach. And then are you saying, so for your drink, are you saying sort of red wine?
Red wine. I couldn't drink red wine in the heat. Red wine makes me very sleepy. And there'd probably be a lot of work to do on the island, you know, building shit. Another drink that there's a couple of drinks that make me just, you know, like, smell is one of the strongest triggers of memory. So sometimes when I smell a drink, it reminds me of a time in my life. So I can't stand the smell of aftershock.
Oh God. Yeah. Yeah.
Cause it just reminds me of obviously being on nights out when you're young and drinking yourself into like oblivion. And the smell of it, and like it's spilt everywhere because everyone's just pissed out of their face, and you wake up and it's on your clothes. And
I occasionally if I have mouthwash, I get a little gag, and I'm like, why is
that?
And I'm like, oh, because it's like memories of aftershock. My body doesn't know the difference anymore.
Yeah, exactly. What else? Oh, was there something else? Oh yeah, when I was in, I worked in Spain. I worked in Fangarola for 3 months. You know, I did like a summer season there. I worked for Lineker's pub, just like flyering and getting people in. And all we did was drink vodka Diet Coke, vodka Diet Coke. And it was just the smell. Like, if I smell a vodka Diet Coke now, I could probably, it's probably so long now, it's about 10 years. I could maybe stomach if someone was like, if it was all there was, if I went back to someone's house and like, all I have is vodka Diet Coke, I'd probably do it. But that's a recent development. Again, we drank it every day for 3 months.
Oh, man.
And the smell, and it was really cheap Coke. It was called like Revoltas. I think it was actually called Revoltas. And it was always, the ice was, it was so hot and it was always kind of warm and,
Oh, man, that's horrendous. Yeah, again, nothing, something you don't want to drink warm as well, isn't it? It's, bad Diet Coke and vodka and cheap vodka as well, which is,
disgusting. I think it was like Skull and Bones on the front of it. No, it was just vile.
I mean, all the signs were there, weren't there, for you? You know, Revoltas Coke and
as Skull a 21-year-old vodka. You're illiterate to signs. Can't read signs.
Yeah,
you're like, how can enough. I get pissed for a fiver? That's literally your only concern.
Yeah, I remember with Aftershock, we used to get, because there was a red and the blue, which was sort of, one was a bit hotter, one was a bit cooler. Like, one was more menthol, one was more cinnamon.
Mm.
And we used to do purple Aftershock, so you'd have to have a double shot and mix the two. And I remember there used to be things that, for some reason, some twat had decided that when you did a purple Aftershock, you had to, like, you had to do it and then hold it in your mouth for 30 seconds first. And then, like, it was just, how many fucking stepping stones can I not just, you know, if you're on like a stag or a hen do and like, they're like, no, you've all got to drink this all day and you've got to drink it in this specific way. And you're like, look, guys, I'm absolutely up for getting shit faced.
Yeah.
But can I just do it with nice drinks? I'm still going to end up being sick at the end of it. But can I have a gin and tonic or something, please? Like, can I get to the same destination in a slightly different route? You know?
I know. And also, I suppose when you're older, when you're younger, you go out with the aim to get pissed. Like, that's why you go out.
Mm.
Whereas now you're like, oh, actually, I don't want to get pissed because I'll be like, I'll feel shit. And like, but I just wouldn't be into shots now at all.
I mean, if the objective of the drink is to get rid of it as fast as possible, it's probably not that nice.
I can drink wine like a shot. Like, I'm grand. Like, I still can drink with speed. Down in one.
Well, we have a particularly disgusting menu then for you on the island, so that's good. Now, Joanne, fortunately, you won't be without entertainment on the island. The plane's entertainment system continues to work, but just your luck, it only has two working settings. One is your least favourite film of all time, and the other is your least favourite song. What are they and why?
My least favourite song is Are We Human or Are We Dancer?
Oh, yeah, The Killers, yeah.
I absolutely hate it. Like, I just hate it. I don't know why, I just hate it. It doesn't make sense and the lyrics are shit. I hate the tune. Hate it. Don't really like The Killers.
I'm not a big fan. And I work at a radio station where they play that sort of thing quite a lot. So, I mean, the only good thing about it is I've now heard it so many times that the sort of the cycle, it goes, you hate a song, you hear it in your every waking moment, or you wake up and it just pops into your head. Then you've heard it so many times, you know the words, even though you hate it.
Mm.
And eventually, like sort of Stockholm syndrome, you don't like it, but you just don't even hear it anymore. It's like, you know, it's like telegraph poles. You don't really notice them because they're just there all the time. So I've kind of got to that state of acceptance, I suppose. But yeah.
They overplay, like people just, over stations and stuff, they overplay songs to the point where you just can't bear to hear them anymore. Mm. Which is unfair to the band, actually. Like, I mean, if I'd heard it once or twice in my life, it probably wouldn't offend me as much.
Yeah.
There's something really, the lyrics really piss me off. Are we human or are we dancer? It just, to me, doesn't make any sense. It just pisses me off. And it's ridiculous. What are you on about? What are you asking for? Robots? We're not robots. Not that all lyrics make sense. It just riles me, that song.
Well, the other thing is, I've complained about it in the past and I've had people go, actually, no, it refers to this poem by this famous poet. And then it's even worse than the lyrics not making sense on the face of it. Then you've got some twat giving you a lesson about like, oh, well, actually, it's by this poet. And you go, oh, just fuck off. Well, that's still a bad lyric.
That's The Killers being facetious as well, I think.
Yeah, definitely. And it's that sort of, people get really excited by The Killers, don't they? Like Mr. Brightside, it's just sort of like, oh, suddenly the pubs, everyone's dancing, spilling their drinks and
we're
going to live forever. And I don't like that.
There was another song that the clubs used to all play, not all clubs, but like clubs that I went to in Dublin when I was a kid. They'd
finished the night with them. And I would walk 500 miles.
Yeah.
Again, that's not really a big fave of mine as a result. It's all overexposure. That's what these things are. Overexposure.
Yeah, yeah. They play that one in Australia a lot, I remember, like from being about 18 in Australia and like pubs always closing with the Proclaimers. I don't know.
They played that at home and then the national anthem and then we were all kicked out.
The national anthem?
In Ireland, they played the national anthem, yeah. And then they set off the alarm so that everyone leaves.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Because normally if you hear the national anthem and an alarm together, it means like, that's it, the bomb's coming or something.
Yeah, it's a terrorist attack. They're not the proper, not like proper techno clubs. They weren't going to like round the night off with the national anthem. I mean, you know, the cheesy clubs that you went to, that we would have gone to when we were like 16, 17, before we got a bit cool, you know.
Do they still do that, do you think?
I don't know, because I haven't been into them in so long.
Yeah.
I'm telling you now, there's definitely places still down the country that would finish the night with the national anthem. I've no doubt about it.
Wow.
I know.
That's amazing. Wow. I want to find out if we have listeners who can let us know on social media. I'm very curious to find out.
Yeah.
But yeah, the Killers, I feel like they are, it's this sort of new era, well, not new era anymore, but I'm old. So it feels like it's like clean rock and roll. You know what I mean? It's like, hey, we're a rock band, but I'm a Mormon and I've got 5 kids and I don't drink. And it's like, yeah, that's all fair enough. But I want to... Okay, I get that Dave Grohl's a really nice guy, but you still feel like the Foo Fighters have a bit of energy or something.
Yeah.
But there's so many bands where you're like, oh, how do you relax after a gig? It's like, well, you know, I'm reading this at the minute. I don't care. No, like, trash the hotel room.
Yeah, I know. Where's your leather jacket? We want the bad boys. But like that kind of whole genre, like I would consider like Kings of Leon... Killers, Arctic Monkeys. Who? There's another kind of like, not Mumford and Sons. Well, maybe Mumford and Sons. I honestly couldn't tell them apart. Now Mumford and Sons, I could. They have a more distinctive sound. I used to love. And I went to see them in Dublin, Kasabian. But anyway, now obviously you can't like them anymore. It turns out your man's deranged.
Yeah.
But I loved Kasabian. I loved AC/DC. I used to, when I was in Australia doing shows, I walked out to Thunderstruck, but I could only play, like, if you play more than 4 minutes or something, you have to pay royalties or something mad like that.
It does have a long intro as well.
It does have a long intro, but I was like, as if AC/DC need royalties from me, what? Come on, like, I'm doing the Adelaide Fringe. But yeah, I'm not prepared to pay royalties to them, so I do a very short intro. But I remember I used to work in music PR before I got into comedy. And I went to see them. They were playing in this kind of big outdoor event in Ireland and I'd never seen them live. And I was looking after the photographers. So I was up in the pit. So it was like, it was their train tour. So there was this huge big train coming out of the wall and everything. So I was up really, really close and it blew my mind. And ever since then, I've been a big AC/DC fan.
Yeah. No, I've seen them and it was brilliant. It's exactly what you want a rock show to be, you know, like... just stupid inflatables coming out of the stage and Angus Young on like a revolving stage in the middle with loads of confetti cannons going off and stuff. It was great. That's what I want. But yeah, it feels like everything's a bit more sanitized. Like even Kings of Leon, when they came out, they were almost like hillbillies. You couldn't understand a word they said. And then suddenly with Sex on Fire, you're like, who are these good-looking young men in their matching jackets? And like, what happened to you guys? And
yeah.
Like, fair enough, if I was them and someone went, do you know what? If you shave, we could really make a lot more money. And
yeah, like, showbiz.
Yeah, who cares? Why not? But it does. Sort of, it is lacking. But yeah, I think the Killers are sort of the worst of it because they're the shiniest, aren't they?
I honestly couldn't. Like, it's so hard. And I'm not a big muso. Like, I'm not a big muso. But I do find that whole group, there was a kind of an onslaught of bearded men in a lot of black with those kind of like trilby hats. Mm. I found it very difficult to tell any of them apart.
Yeah. I was at a wedding once and the DJ was struggling to get people to dance. And he was one of those DJs that had a microphone as well. And at one point, because he thought, it was like, oh, I'm losing the crowd. I know, I'll put on Mr. Brightside. And he got on the mic and went, ladies and gentlemen, the Killers. And I was like, they're not here. Like, people looked around.
It's so
like,
funny.
It's, you know, we're at a golf club. He's not going to be here, you know. But, you know, nice try.
Great tip. If I'm dying on stage, I'll do the same.
Yeah, it's gonna be killers. And then run away.
Yeah.
Fair enough. And then people get angry for them not turning up. It'll distract everyone. It's a good plan. What would your film choice be?
I actually didn't know I had to choose a film. So I'm thinking on the spot, I'd probably go... See, if I don't like a film, I just turn over. Mm. Do you know what film I don't like? And because it freaked me out and I would get no pleasure out of watching it, is Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Which one? The original?
The original.
Mm-hmm.
It gave me nightmares for years as a kid.
Oh, really? Yeah, well, I mean, he's a freaky character.
It's the whole thing is freaky. Like the kid going up the chocolate pipe, your one blowing up like a balloon. It's terrifying. We had in where I'm from in Dublin, there's these things called the Rainbow Rapids, where there it's a water park, but like it's not, it's, I don't know how you'd explain the Rainbow Rapids. I mean, a water park is a gross exaggeration. It's a couple of tube slides going into a rock pool in the sea. But the tube slides, it's, you know, they're covered slides. Mm. And I think, I mean, the place has been shut down. Now it's like just this kind of creepy. It's like going into the Titanic. You know, you see videos of the slides. It's all like underwater now. And they're trying to turn it into, I think, some sort of like museum or something. But the place was, it was the 80s. So like there was thumbs stuck to the last property board. Like there was no health and safety in the place at all. And the queue to get up to the top of the slide took ages and it was really narrow. And my dad was really, really wanted me to do it. He thought this would be, because I didn't want to do it. And he was like, this is something you need to do to kind of like grow as a human. Got all the way to the top and screamed. Because all I could think about was that child who went up the pipe. So yeah. I obviously had a touch of claustrophobia or something. I don't know. So it ruined the Rainbow Rapids for me. Then I used to dream. I don't know why. I have this thing, which it is a thing. Some people think it's not a thing, called triphobia, where it's like this weird nausea around things growing out of organisms. So like, do you know this?
I think, is it? It's a
phobia of patterns, but like only certain patterns.
Because, yeah, I remember a colleague getting very upset once because they had a red pepper and inside it had like a little red pepper growing out of it. And that really freaked her out. Is it that sort of thing?
No,
really.
It's more like loads of holes in a row. It's hard to
explain.
Oh,
yes, yes. I've heard of that one.
So I think the cause of it is that it's a lot of people have it. It's because, you know, back in hunter-gatherer days, it's to keep us away from poisonous things that could harm us, things we shouldn't eat, that it would trigger some sort of nausea in us, and some of us just still have it, I guess.
Still have it.
But I don't know. Yeah. We're obviously the Neanderthals of the human race that still have it. But there was something in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory that freaked me out as well. Like there was something to do with that, and then I was used to dream about that girl who blew up to be the Bluebell, and she was like popping holes out of her and everything. Oh, it was just awful. A friend of mine has triphobia as well, and she used to dream that there was kidney beans bursting out of her skin. It's all this.
Wow.
I know. So I've been doing a lot of gagging on this podcast. So that's a film that really freaked me out, and got no plan. And I think it's creepy as fuck.
It is. And it's also, I noticed last time I watched it, God knows how long ago that was, there's, you know, certain films when they had like different value systems. Like, so there's a bit where, you know, Charlie, he uses his like birthday, for his birthday gets like a chocolate bar to win the golden ticket, and he doesn't. And then his grandpa goes, hey, look, I've saved my money and I've bought you a chocolate bar. And instead of going, oh, isn't that nice? Because you're a poor family. Let's, you know, spend it on the child so he has a vaguely normal upbringing. The mother turns around and goes, oh, Grandpa, you shouldn't have. That money was for your tobacco. And it's like,
how do you remember like quotes from us?
I just remember it's the only bit I really really stuck with me. I was like, don't spend your money on chocolate for the boy. You're supposed to be smoking, Grandpa.
Different times, Dan. Different times.
It's your only pleasure is smoking in bed with the other three grandparents.
Doesn't sound like a bad life.
Amazing. But yeah, I like it. But I mean, you know, his sacrifice got Charlie into the factory. But he is a weird character. I mean, he's the last person you'd want your kid hanging out with. And if he said, "Now I'm going to give you the whole factory," like, this is like, it's the alarm bells. It's too Michael Jackson, isn't it?
It's a little suspect. And licking, remember him licking the walls, and the walls tasted of things. And I don't know. It was one of those movies where it's aimed at kids, but it tormented me for years. I remember running out of the house and everything. I remember my mum had to come and get me. I was down at the end of the garden crying.
But I think when we were young, there was... stuff was just a bit weirder for kids, wasn't it? There's some, like, mad stuff going on. And now it's like, there's... you know, my son watches some crazy shit as well. Like, there's this thing on Netflix where all the characters are bread or cakes, like, and they run a barber shop. So there's a loaf of... there's, like, a slice of toast and he's a barber... and, like, that's fucking mad. But, I mean, it's not scary. It's just weird. You know, it's just...
how do adults come up with this stuff? They must be all on acid. They must go do acid at the weekends and do brainstorms. They must.
I think so. Or, like, my colleague of mine, he's convinced it's just there's some kind of huge Google algorithm and they just plug in loads of ideas and it spits out shit. And they're like, yeah, fine, that'll do. Like, toast barbershop. Fine. Why not? You know, but it's not chilling. That's the main thing.
When I was a kid, I remember there was a show. It was Australian or New Zealand, Australian, called Around the Twist.
Yes.
Do you remember it?
Mm.
And he lived in a lighthouse and there was all this weird stuff happening. And again, one of the episodes that stuck out for me so much was one girl, and under her clothes, she was covered in fingernails.
Oh, that is weird.
Ugh. Again, the triphobia kicked in. I was like, oh God, this is all... and I think the end of it was she was turning into a mermaid, but she was covered in fingernails. Fingernails.
Oh,
all over her body.
That's not what mermaids are made of.
I know, yeah. Oh, that's true. Man. Actually, maybe I'm confusing two episodes. Yeah, because it wasn't scales, it was fingernails.
Oh, like the mermaid that no little girl wanted to be friends with.
Yeah.
No one wanted that little mermaid toy, the fingernail one.
Disgusting.
With a bad Ariel. Yeah.
Great show, though. Like, again, it was a great show. It was better than Pugwall. At least there was decent stuff happening.
Oh, Pugwall was dreadful, wasn't it? Yeah, that was really bad.
I fancied him. He was my first, like, imaginary boyfriend. As in, like, sorry, my first relationship where he didn't know he was in one with me. I had several of them, but he was my first.
Fair enough. Okay, well, good choices again. Very strong. Now, Joanne, finally, the island is overrun by the biggest dick of all the animals. Which animal is it and why?
Oh my God. Oh, well, bats are very unpopular at the moment, aren't they?
Yeah.
So maybe bats. I don't really mind rats, to be honest.
No, I haven't got a problem with them too much.
No, I think they can, in the right light, they can look quite sweet. Yeah, I would say bats, because you don't know when they're going to come, and they kind of like come down, they hang upside down. Have you ever seen a bat's face up close? I saw footage somewhere recently of like this huge bat, like he was the size of an 8-year-old boy with a huge wingspan and all. Like, there's something weird going on. I think bats, they're planning some sort of takeover.
It doesn't make sense as well. Like, how did you decide on upside down sleeping? How exactly. Does that make sense?
How do you not pass out? Why aren't you fainting? They're very ugly. They're all leathery looking. They make weird noises. I don't know. They seem to be trying to eradicate the human race. They're the biggest dick of the animal planet, if you ask me.
I was in Australia once, and this friend of mine, we're in someone's garden, and there was this huge fruit bat hanging upside down, because they're quite common there. Like in places like Sydney, you get loads. Like every night you see them across the sky. There's this huge like migration at night, like thousands of them. And it's really, it reminds me, there's a bit in Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom where that happens. So it always reminds me of that. But anyway, he was in this garden and there's this bat hanging off the tree. So he goes to take a picture of it because, you know, we're from England. This is unusual.
Yeah.
And the flash startled the bat and it jumped on him. And he was only wearing shorts. He had no top on. So it was just, he had this funny photo of this huge fruit bat sort of hanging off his leg. But then, you know, obviously everyone's taking more pictures of it. And it gets stressed out, so it's trying to like climb up him. And he's like, how do I get this bat? I'm like, what do I even do with it? It's not like you can't sort of.
Freaked.
With a bird, you could kind of shoo it and it'll flap off. But it's kind of, you know, because it's a mammal. It's like a big, it's almost
it's
like a flying rodent. Yeah, it's like, how do I shake this thing off?
It's like a dog. When we were in, I was in Australia for work last year. Jeez, it feels like 20 years ago now. And what are those little animals? You might know them. Maybe I'll Google it. Where they've the little tiny eyes and there's loads of them in Australia.
Possums.
Boom. Jesus, Dan, you know everything. So this lad that I've been gigging with told me that the night before he was standing in like a park in Adelaide and this possum thought he was a tree and ran towards him at great speed. He's obviously running away from something and climbed up him and like latched onto his face.
Oh, no.
I know.
And that if they do that, that means you're their mother and you have to stay with them forever.
To breastfeed them for the rest of your life.
I think as well with bats as well, they're only going to come out at night. So it's going to be when, you know, like in the daytime.
During the day?
Upside down somewhere, I guess. I don't know. But you're going to be in, you know, on the island sometimes. You're like, oh, it's not so bad. You know, sunshine, waves lapping at the beach. But at night, that's when everything's going to get a bit dark and you're hungry and you're missing home. And that's when the animal comes out, isn't it?
So I feel like they're growing in size. I feel like they have an agenda and I just don't want to be a part of it.
Fair enough. And I mean, they're just synonymous with sort of bad vibes, aren't they? With like vampires and things like that. So, and they're very fast as well. Like they'll come very close to you and then just miss you. So I think, yeah.
I'd love a sloth.
Okay, they've been picked before fairly recently as like the worst animal. So I'm glad we're covering all bases here.
How is a sloth? A sloth is like the Care Bear of the animal world. Mm. They're so cute and slow and like lazy. And I sometimes if I'm trying to sleep, I'll watch videos of baby sloths getting fed. I love them.
No, well, I like to have some vague balance on this podcast. So, you know, this is sort of undone some of the work. I think it was Jenny Ryan put sloths on. So
I would defend sloths. Yeah. I'd look like my dream would be to be on an island with like sloths, pugs, anything that has that kind of incest face, you know, that like really like packed in on itself face. I love that.
Incest face is quite accurate.
Yeah. You know that they've been in triple bred and they can't breathe, but they're still amazingly cute.
Fair enough. Brilliant. Well, Joanne, I think you've picked a lovely range of awful creatures and people and things for your island. So it's a thoroughly inhospitable place and the job is done. So thank you very much for coming on today. Where can we see or hear more from you?
Well, so I'm on my way back to Ireland now to do a little mini tour over there as much as I can because I'm, you know, with the restrictions and stuff. And I'll be back gigging in London from mid-December.
Lovely. Brilliant. So we'll keep looking out for you.
Sorry, Joanne McNally Comedy on Instagram. And I have a website, joannemcnally.com, which someone updates sometimes.
Perfect. Well, thank you again for coming on Desert Island Dicks today.
Thanks, Dan.